The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
Good as I can be, Jordan. I am counting down the days until I'm up there, so I'm excited. Can't wait to see some Philadelphia Union. Jordan, they got a new like brewhouse thing coming. That's pretty cool.
Union Yards. Like I told you, they've been kind of working on that for, I would say, I don't know. I definitely remember it. I've been up there two times this year where I noticed a big difference in that. Like, that place has been standing for a while. It was part of like the parking lot. And I think I noticed last year, probably around the playoff time, things were kind of getting a little more straightened up around there. And then this last time I'm like, oh wow. Yeah. And they had like signs saying Union Yard. So I was like, they're probably putting something there. I didn't realize it's going to be open in time for the next home game, which is when you come up, which maybe we go hang out there. I don't know, but we'll see how it goes.
I'm sure it'll be crowded. So even if we just saw it, it's interesting because of, you know, I know my home stadiums. I know Inter Co is Orlando City Stadium, and you know they've got areas built like further down towards Amway built up, but the other side of it they're still working on, and they're buying a bunch of land, buildings, and different things like that. But it'll be interesting to see what the Union have to offer, because, like, from what I gathered, Jordan, like it's near cargo ships and stuff, like the stadium, and if it's near the riverfront, I was like, I didn't really expect it to be like a downtown area. So
it's not. Yeah, it's not.
I'm interested to see what it's all about.
Yeah, not far from there is a place called Wiegand Avenue.
Oh,
we could maybe drive over there. I don't know.
Do you live there? That's fun.
No, but I don't know if it's related to Kurt Wiegand, who I've been doing my research on for the baseball thing or not, but he lived in Chester as well. So I'll put that out there when I'm finished my video. I was originally planning for it to be done like this week. But that's not happening. So it's probably going to be in May sometime, May or June, that video will be done. And it has some Union ties, but it is more baseball speaking, but you know, the player did live in Chester and he had my last name, so I'm working on a great video about that, which we'll have a good time with. But yeah, I mean, we are done match day 9. A lot has happened this week. Of course, we had Montreal had a huge upset. Galaxy had a huge win over Vancouver. Messi played in front of a huge amount of players, in front of supporters, 72,610 at Arrowhead Stadium. We had Orlando win a crazy comeback win. Union stay undefeated. We got a lot to talk about today. Logan, where did you want to start? I'll let you pick today because I usually run the show. I'm going to let you run the show. Where do you want to go first?
Let's go. Let's just go easy then. Let's go Montreal and Cincinnati, because I think that's a good one to start with. First match at home for Montreal. They had played 5 straight on the road, which was always crazy to me that they had started like that. But I think it benefits them because of where they play. It's cold. I wish a lot of teams could do that, where they not necessarily start on the road, but avoid the cold weather. It's more brutal, I guess, with baseball. But yeah, I think Montreal downing Cincinnati. Cincinnati lost its second straight game, Jordan. Montreal looked the better side. They had a slew of chances in the first half, looked to be the stronger side. They really did have most of the possession, most of the dangerous chances, most of the largest share of chances created. They outshot Cincinnati 8-2, and Joseph Martinez got a goal and looked great. So it was a huge win for Montreal, who I thought stacked up pretty well. I mean, you go 5 straight games on the road, and they currently sit 8th They've got 7 games to play. They've got 10 points. So it seems like a pretty decent run of games for them, because it's only going to get easier, I think, because they're going to have more home games than anybody else. So
a couple weeks ago, we were just talking about Cincinnati being top of the East. That has quickly changed here. They're only 3 points off of that, but they've dropped all the way down to 5th, and I think it just kind of shows how this Eastern Conference has really heated up lately. We have Miami back on top. New York is in 2nd. Philly is undefeated in 3rd. Columbus in 4th. Cincy in 5th. Atlanta's been playing well. They're in 6th. That's all really well. I mean, DC's been playing well. They're outside of the playoffs. We have Toronto's been kind of mixed bag, right? They started off hot, kind of had a little bit of a struggle recently. Montreal is up there. And then Charlotte's kind of been a sneaky team, I think, that has been just grabbing points. But yeah, Montreal, huge away victory. Home victory. But you're right, they did start out away a lot, so they now have a lot of home games coming up here. Cincinnati, that's what, 2 straight losses. They lost to Red Bull, and now they lose to Montreal. We'll see how things continue for them.
Are you concerned at all with Cincinnati?
No. I mean, I think the hard part about doing this show every week, right, is just how much MLS can change on a dime. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they're only 3 points off. They're actually on the same pace as Miami, if because Miami has a game in hand. So they're really just like 3 points off of New York. If they get the 3 points that they have in hand to Miami, then they're equal with them. The main thing is scoring, right? That's my biggest concern. 8 goals for, 7 against. And you look at a team like Miami that has 19 scored, right? Philly has 14 scored. New York and Columbus are a little closer to Cincy with 11 and 10 goals scored. But look, they're at least a positive goal differential, but I'm more worried about that goals for. You know, they lost Brandon Vasquez. They're obviously missing a piece here, I think. And that piece is somebody that can put the ball into the back of the net consistently.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think a goal a game is roughly where they sit as far as goals scored. And so, you know, they obviously miss Brandon Vasquez. They miss having somebody like a Brenner, a second striker. Bupenza hasn't been sensational, and I think when he struggles, he does let it get to his head a little bit. His confidence is easily wavered, I think, and so I'm interested. Their defense looks great. They've really fixed that since we started covering them, Jordan. They were a laughing stock defensively. I mean, they were out on a pace to set. I think they tied the historic record of goals allowed in a season, and then I think with that San Jose team that let up a ton. But man, ever since then, they've been a stalwart defensively. And I think that's a testament to Pat Noonan. Be interesting to see if they get any pieces in, Jordan, this summer, because I think they're like you said, they're not going to compete with the top 4 teams that are sitting currently in the top 4, in my estimation, unless they get somebody that's going to be a top goal scorer.
Yeah. Their goal scored, like I said, 8. I mean, that's more in line with a team like Charlotte, Toronto, right? Like Orlando, Nashville, NYCFC. Those all have 7-8 goals scored.
9. And those aren't good teams.
right. So if they start leaking goals, then they're going to fall down the table. Atlanta's below them, but Atlanta has 12 goals scored. They also have a game in hand.
And Giakoumakis has been out for a couple matches now.
But they're still scoring. Atlanta scored 2 against Philly the other day. Right. So, yeah, I guess I'm changing my answer a bit when you said, are you worried? I think I am starting to get worried if the goals are not going to be coming. Because like we said, those teams that have scored 8 or 7 or 9 goals are on the lower end of the table. And that's not a good pace to be on right now. So we'll see. All right. So I guess let's go to Montreal, by the way, though, have just been... They started out the season well. They had a little bit of a lull in the middle. They've now kind of bounced back. They have 10 points. They're in 8th place. They have a -4 goal differential. They need to start worrying about leaking goals. They have 14 conceded, which is actually the same amount as Miami. But Miami scores a lot of goals. You know, Montreal's not scoring a lot of goals. Montreal's goals against are more in line with Chicago, Toronto, DC, Orlando, Nashville, New England. All those teams have 12 or more goals conceded. What's really hurting a team like NYCFC is their goals scored, 7. They've only conceded 9. But they're at, you know, they're in that middle range of the table, 12th place. Montreal, if they can figure out the goals for, and Joseph gets a little hot like he was playing, where he was playing pretty well this weekend, then yeah, you're probably feeling like they can bounce up again. I'm still not expecting Montreal to be like world beaters this year. My goal for them would be get into that wild card spot if possible. And right now they're in that spot. So we'll see how, like you said, they have a lot of games coming up at home because they started out like 6 on the road or like 5 out of 7 on the road. We'll see how they go from there. Are we ready to talk Galaxy Vancouver?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Galaxy versus Vancouver. Galaxy win this match 3-1 in what was a battle of the top Western Conference teams. You had Jovalić scoring in the 56th minute. I think that was his 7th goal or something. He scored 6 all of last year. So he is... you doubted him, Logan, going into this year. He's kind of proving, all right, I can do better than last year. I'm more of the main guy now. He's scoring goals. Paintsill had a goal and an assist, right? Or just a goal? No, he did have an assist. They count secondary assists on Fagundes' goal. Yeah. So Fagundes gave it to Paintsill and Ricky Puig. And Puig also had a assist on Paintsill's goal. But they, I mean, look, 58% possession of 41. Vancouver still outshot LA, and they actually outshot them on shots on goal, but LA buried them away. Brian White scores in the 77th minute when to equalize at 1-1, but Paintsill and Fagundes score in 80th and 82nd minute to put this game away. And this is what I needed to see from LA Galaxy to feel like, hey, they're playing against the best team in the West as well. You know, LA and Vancouver are the best right now as it currently stands. What can you do? They go out there, they win that game. They have 17 goals scored, by the way, which is 2nd most in Major League Soccer after Miami. They still give up quite a bit. They've given up 12, LA Galaxy. But other than that, they only have 1 loss on the season. They got 4 wins, 3 draws. They're at 15 points, top of the West. Vancouver still in 2nd with 13 points. They have 15 goals scored and only 9 given up. 3 of those 9 were this week.
Yeah, LA looks great. Like you said, like I was doubting Jovalić, and I regret that just because of how well he's played.
Eat it.
Yeah. 6 goals, 1 assist. Paintsill's got 3 goals, 3 assists. Ricky Puig has 2 goals and 4 assists. I was pulling up Peck's numbers just because I didn't have them off the top of my head. But, yeah, I mean, this team essentially now has 4 attacking players. Jordan, he's got a goal, no assist yet, but he hasn't started as many games. But I think Peck getting integrated with Jovalić, with Paintsill, I mean, that's one of the scariest front threes that they have. I mean, I would argue that Vancouver has a scary threat of 3, but so does the LA Galaxy and LAFC will. You know, you look at teams across the league and then you drop back to the midfield and you got Ricky Puig, who's probably arguably one of the best midfielders in this league. And he's not, I don't think he's played to his potential. And that's how good this Galaxy team has been. Like, I think he's even better than what he's played. They've had a tough schedule. They've had to play Miami. Even though it was at home, they played LAFC, which was at LAFC. They had to travel to Nashville, got a point out of there. I mean, this team go to Vancouver and win 3-1. I mean, this team's been through one of the toughest parts of their schedule. They've got like Austin, San Jose coming up soon. So, I mean, this team, Jordan, LA's got, they figured it out. Defensively, they've been better. They were another team that was always shipping goals and one of the worst defenses in the league usually. And they seem to have fixed that to their credit. You know, it's not great, but it's better than what it had been. They've given up 12. But if you're going to score this many goals, You can add in more talent. There's still, I think there's still like this, you know, one of these players really stepping up to be like that superstar and just take over. But I think there's three of them right on the cusp of doing so. So, you know, you look at this team, what do they need? Maybe some defensive help. But other than that, man, this team is, I wouldn't want to mess with them. Right now, they're the best team in the Western Conference on their standings at the table. But I think talent-wise, I think this team is far and away the better team than any of the other ones. I think they're in a tier by themselves right now.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Vancouver and Houston are not far behind. They actually have a game in hand to L.A., and they can leapfrog them after that game in hand. Houston, sneaky good. I mean, I know they made themselves aware last year, and I've bought into them, but it seemed like they had a little bit of a slow start, and now all of a sudden they're third place in the, you know, in the West now. But Vancouver, they've been the real class of the West, I think. I would say that they're still, LA just beat them head-to-head, but Vancouver's still pretty close in my estimation. I can't put them, unless they start falling off a bit here, but I can't say LA's in a class by themselves, because I do think, you know, like I said, with game in hand, Vancouver can leapfrog them. I have to give them a little bit of a benefit of the doubt here, but LA does only have one loss so far, so they've been riding high recently. Vancouver has two losses on the air. Points per game, LA is favored 1.88. with that, yeah, but so you voted one of these players for player of the match day, right?
Yeah.
Do you have him first or second on the ballot?
I had him first, Joseph Paintsill, just because of the way that he can change games. There's not, you know, there's not a lot of people in this league, and he has quickly figured out how to make himself a threat. And his pace, and this is what's really exciting about the league, Jordan, is that years ago when we first started to do this, he was like a one-off. Like, he was one of those guys that teams got, and it was a young developing player that really had aspirations. But he comes here from overseas, and now will probably make a name for himself where, you know, next year there's going to be somebody knocking at the door at LA and saying, hey, you know, what is it going to take to get Paintsill over on our team? Because I do. I feel like this kid's got unbelievable talent. He's so strong. He's so physical. He's just adjusted so well to this league, and it's so hard to do. He is 26, so he's kind of in that weird spot where, like, he needed a revamp. And if he's going to make a jump back over, he's going to have to do it, you know, in the next year or so. But I mean, his skill is incredible. You don't quite see it in MLS, the amount of, but you know, who he reminds me of, Jeremy Doku, who plays for Manchester City. He's kind of got that pace, quick, strong, and side to side, he just loses people. I mean, just absolutely, create space out of nothing. So I'm glad the league has
Count
it.
Count Dooku?
Yep, Count Dooku. I didn't get him mixed up this time. yeah, Jeremy Dooku. But yeah, they're exciting to watch, man. And I said tier by themselves. I might have jumped the gun a little bit there. But
yeah,
they're looking like they could. They're looking like they could.
That's the thing. They could. This is I'm glad you're maybe finally seeing Pete Greg Vanney team here. Like, this is, this reminds me of like when he would go on a run with Toronto. Stuff like that. Like, the team would be just like clicking and clicking and clicking the way that they are. Ricky Pooge, his passes are like some of those passes he was making in that game. A lot of the Galaxy players, they'd be making that through ball, and then like Paintsill's on the other end of it, and it's just like an attack is just happening. Like, it is very exciting to watch, and I'm glad that the Galaxy are finally like really, like, interesting to watch again. I don't know. Like,
They've never, like, been when I've covered the league. So
if they miss the playoffs, like, that would be a disaster. All right. I think they're going to be good all year. So I'm very excited to see what they can do. Let's move on to where 72,000 people watched Miami and SKC battle it out, but it did go Miami's way here. So you had a goal in the 6th minute to give SKC the lead. Then you go with an equalizer through Gomez, an assist by Messi in the 18th minute. Then you have Messi's rocket goal here in the 51st minute to make it 2-1. Then another goal by SKC to make it 2-2. That was by Tommy. And then you have, he scored both. Then you have Luis Suarez in the 71st minute with the third goal to wrap it up. But Miami had 59% possession. They were even on shots, 10-10. But Miami had 6 shots on goal to SKC's 3. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And I also want to get your thoughts on, was this a good move by Sporting to have this game move to Arrowhead?
It was weird watching the game because the spattering of pink, which was really hard to tell up against the Chiefs' red and yellowish seat colors. So it was kind of difficult to tell like who was in SKC, like if they were in like a lighter blue shirt or not, or like a white shirt that was SKC. That was a little bit more difficult, but it was heavily a messy crowd. I mean, that's what the
what were they doing?
What's that?
What were they doing?
What do you mean?
You said it was a messy crowd.
It was a messy crowd. Yeah. Throwing ketchup and stuff. No, I'm kidding. They did have somebody run on the field, which seems to be an every game kind of thing. And Messi's security guard comes flying out of nowhere. He sits by the bench, if you didn't know that. So, ultimately, people just go out there and look like they just want a picture with him. Like, it's not ideal. But, I mean, it is weird that it's usually a kid that just wants a picture. But it's odd that it happens all the time now. But anyway, bad move, Jordan. I think the broadcast mentioned it. MLS 360 and then mention it, the fact that like it wasn't an uncomfortable situation or an uncomfortable environment for Lionel Messi and the gang. It felt more of just like a spectacle, like one of those summer tours that some of the big Premier League clubs take, or some of the Liga teams do, where they come over and it's just a mass group of people that like football or soccer, if you want to call it soccer, that come in to watch it. And Sporting Kansas City, like they play in Kansas City, which is one of the best sports cities in the world. And again, people showed out almost 73,000 to see Messi. And he did not disappoint. He played, which was good. I was like worried. I was like, oh no, what if he doesn't, if he doesn't show up? But he did play and he looked Messi-esque. His goal was about as good as you could get. And his assist and his passing are just, I mean, he makes it look so easy. And it's really not that easy. So, but kudos to SKC, man. They held their own. I was actually shocked by how well they played against Messi and the gang.
I know a lot of people are at this point where they're like, well, why would we want to give up an advantage and blah, 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 blah.
They get ticket sales from that.
Yeah. I think people said that might cover some of their costs for a year. Like it's going to cover some big costs operating.
Yeah.
In Arrowhead and having all of that, all those ticket sales for this. And I know people might be like, well, that's not really the point. But what I would kind of compare it to is when you have an FA Cup match with where the second team, like the lower team, is the one that gets to host. And they want to draw the big club because they want to be able to get all that gate revenue.
Yep. Yep.
Well, it's kind of similar to that, except for it's not about being a lower tier team. It's just the best player in the world is coming. And why not try to get as much money as you can out of that? That maybe, and this is where the big thing is, can you put the money back into the club, or are you just reaping the rewards? And that's the big thing for the club and what I think the fans would want to see is like, all right, fine. Is this helping us so that way you can bring in better players so we can actually compete on the field, or are you just pocketing this? And that's kind of the big question mark I have when it comes to this stuff. Like we see the Union are apparently linked to buying a part of another team overseas where they own a certain percentage of it. All right, fine, but are you going to put money on the field in Chester, or are you just going to be like, what is the benefit for the fans? Why are you buying into this? And that's the kind of thing that I think this is generally okay, but I would like to see Sporting. We know Sporting kind of has this aging roster, right, where they were, and they were decimated by injuries last year. Can they put money back into this team and get this team ready to rock and go? I do think this team will be a team that gets into the playoffs again. I do think Sporting is generally going to be good this year. And really that's all that matters. Cause if you get in there's a good shot you have of you know, winning MLS Cup no matter what. And we kind of talked about that with Miami anyway last year. Like, just get in and see what happens. They couldn't get in. So I feel like sometimes people like to just take shots on teams for doing this type of stuff, or they think it makes them look bad. But really, I think any team would do this. I do. Like, I think any team in MLS would, if they could, put their game into a bigger stadium to get more gate receipts for Messi. Now, do you lose a competitive advantage? Maybe, but I still think if the players are good on your team, you still have a shot to win this game no matter what.
Yeah, it's taking it to a neutral site. Another thing, too, that I think is interesting to note, and I haven't really heard it, and I'm sure people have said it, but this is huge for MLS. If, you know, the world stars, the young players, the teenagers, the academy kids, if they are overseas, Jordan, and they're turning on Lionel Messi games, which they always are everywhere they go in the world, he is somebody that you tune into, whether it's 3 a.m. your side in Sydney, Australia, or whatever it might be, you're turning into Lionel Messi games. And if, Jordan, they're turning into this game and there's 72,000 fans at a Arrowhead, it looks good. Like, it looks really good. And there's not many stadiums in Europe, I think, that even hold that number. So the fact that, like, you're turning on what will be, we have the biggest stadiums because of football in the world. So when you turn on games like that, Jordan, and we're leading up to World Cup, this just feeds again, and you and I will beat this drum until it's dead. Lionel Messi's great for this league, whether he's playing or not. It brings so much attention, and I think that there are other stars that are obviously coming that, you know, I could go list on and on and on that of players that I think will end up playing in the U.S. at some point. And those names are massive names. Like, when you have Kevin De Bruyne and Mbappe and, you know, different names like that, Jordan, that are thrown out there, like, at the end of their career, they'd like to come to the United States and play in MLS. That's such a huge gain for this league. And again, people are like, well, what's an old Messi going to do? Well, there you go. He, you know, he's coming off injury, and the dude just had a player of the match day type performance in front of 70,000 fans plus, when you think about Apple Plus. So,
massive. Yeah, this was your other vote, right?
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was. Because he does. He just changes games. And I know a lot of people aren't going to vote for him this year because it's an easy vote. But he did. He changed his game completely. He turned it on its head, which he often can do. And, you know, but again, kudos to SKC. I think, like you said, they're a playoff team. They need an infusion of good young talent, which, you know, that's kind of hard to find midseason. So we'll see what happens. But Sporting, again, just on the cusp, it seems.
All right, Red Bull New York and Chicago, 0-0 finish. Why'd you have this as one of the highlighted matches? Not to be mean, but
maybe I forgot to copy and paste it down, because typically I'll do them in order and then I'll copy and paste them.
Okay.
In case
I'm so like, this is all right, it's one of the headlines.
Jordan, it was. I will say there was one thing I did want to talk about with it. No, two things. One, you can't draw to the Chicago Fire at home. Like, that's, I'm sorry.
Philly did.
Yeah, well, I mean.
2-2 draw.
The other thing, Jordan, is Dante Van Zier doing Dante Van Zier things. When Reyes gets the red card, they sub Dante Van Zier out. Because, you know, that's what a lot of teams will do early in a match, where if a center back goes down in the heat of it and gets a red card in the first half, a lot of times they'll take down a striker because it's one of the easier positions to lose because they're not playing defensively out. And Dante Van Zier, like, storm past Sandra Schwartz and took the door and slammed the door and, like, angrily. And I was like, here he is again, man. Like, he's having a good season, and I get it. I get the frustration, but to do that stuff, man, you worry about him. Like, I don't like guys that have the hot head, because it never prevails. Like, they never prevail in those type situations. And Cincinnati has one. Philly's got one. They got to be careful, man. They got to be careful. I hate players that do. I get intensity, but, man, when you're going to do stupid stuff to put your team in jeopardy, and he didn't do it on the field this time, but he's done things like racial slurs, and, you know, he's had the past of having issues. And so you hate to see it. But those are my two highlights from there, I guess, if you wanted them.
Red Bull had 17 shots. So that was a huge Chicago had better possession, but they had 17 shots, 5 shots on goal, just couldn't get it done. They did beat Chicago in red cards, though. One red card to none. Yeah, let's move on from this game. Not much there for me to discuss. The next match was Orlando DC that we wanted to talk about. So this game started off Benteke scoring 5 minutes in. He's having a great season. Thorhalsson in the 28th minute. Then we had Pirani in the 66. Then you have Brakalo in the 82nd to equalize to make it 2-2. And then you go Duncan Maguire, 90-plus minute. Coolly slot it past the keeper as he gets on this big breakaway. Great ball from Ladero to Duncan Maguire. As they Orlando gets a home, I mean, not a home win, sorry, a away win here from Orlando when it looked pretty rough to begin with. It was pretty even possession-wise. DC outshot them and also had more shots on goal, but Orlando scored 3 goals out of their 4 on target. Pretty darn good. How are you feeling about Orlando getting this much-needed victory?
Yeah, that felt good. Mostly because DC's been difficult to beat, and they've been difficult to beat at home. At Audi, like, they're a very tough team to beat at Audi, and especially with Christian Benteke, who's now tied with all the leaders, with 6 goals in Golden Boot. So and Jordan, the biggest thing for me is the resilience here. Like, this is – Orlando's just been they've just been through the dogfight, really. Like, it's been a dogfight in every single match they've been in, and they've not come out on top. So it was good to see. They moved Facundo Torres centrally into a number 10, which I think was the obvious choice going into it, but they wanted to see what Nico Ladero could do. You know, they wanted to see what maybe Muriel does in kind of a second striker situation. They tried that. That didn't work. So they finally, Martin Ojeda, they thought about doing a number 10 role, but he's much better on the wing. He's just not got that creative juice, I think, to play the 10. But Facundo Torres does, and he's been awful this season. So I think getting him back on, you know, and supposedly Oscar's asked Facundo, and he said, put me middle, put me central. I'd like to play central. It was interesting. I was listening to Bradley Wright Phillips, who said when he was struggling that he was oftentimes approached by his coaches, and they said, where do you like to go? And he likes, I like to go central. I like to see what I can create. I get my own shots. Like, it gets a player back into his form. But I think Facundo Torres naturally should be a 10. Like, he's just got that ability. He's great at holding up play. He's good at finding balls down the sides and putting in through balls to the wings to get the wings open, to get Muriel open. It was a fantastic job of him doing that. And Muriel almost scored. It was almost 4-on-4 because the goal that I think, or the shot that was on target and didn't go in, was saved off the line. Muriel almost got his first. So, Orlando, I mean, this was one hell of a resilient win, and their defense is only going to get a little bit better. So that's a solid foundation to kind of build on. It's just getting Brakalo solid and getting him confident, because if he and Janssen are playing at least to just what they're supposed to be, then they're going to fix a lot of those issues defensively. I will say Galeses kind of looked like Andre Blake, kind of looks like Father Time's catching up a little bit to two of the keepers, because I don't know, man. You get knocked a little bit. Like, Galeses's been knocked out a couple of matches with different little injuries and stuff, and you can really start to see it. It's not as easy for him as it once was.
Just one last thing. DC's really surprised me this year, but Orlando gets the victory. They're only 3 points out now of a actually only 2 points out of a playoff spot. But if they get a victory, and they have a game in hand to some of these teams, Orlando can jump all the way up to that 6th and 7th spot and kind of start maybe redeeming themselves a little bit this season, which is very much needed from them. Houston get a 2-1 road victory over Minnesota. They now sit 3rd in the West, is what I was saying earlier. But yeah, Minnesota started off real hot. They've since kind of fallen down a bit. They're in 7th place, 11 points. Now, that's only 2 points shy of 2nd place. So while they've dropped down some tables spots, they are still very close. They're only 2 points behind Houston, who now just sits above them in third. But yeah, if you're looking at this team, Houston needs to probably score more goals. They have nine. They've given up seven. Minnesota's scored 10, given up nine. So they're both on a little more shorter side when it comes to goals scored. But Houston, Ben Olsen's team, riding high. They're in third place. They get the road victory, scoring two goals in this match. An own goal that was kind of like off the knee of the defender here. And then a goal in the 77th minute. They only had seven shots to Minnesota's 23. Very depressing if you're a Minnesota fan. Seven shots on goal to two, and they come away with one goal and lose the game at home.
Yeah, Ache's coming back. I think they said he's back in training, so it should be only a matter of time. If not this week, some minutes, then next week definitely. And then also Sebastian Ferreira is returning, so he's coming back, and he's been injured. He didn't have much of an impact last year. I think he played 11 matches and started two, but he's, again, one of their DP. This cat's attacking me. But this this team, Jordan, they've got guys that you're just like, man, how do they just keep winning? But they've done it twice now, like 2 years in a row. They've just the Ben Olsen way, and you've always talked about it. He finds ways to win with teams that maybe aren't the top talented teams. I know he had a little bit more talent probably in DC, but Ache is no joke. But Quiñones is hurt, you've got one of the most dynamic wingers hurt. Who I thought that was going to be a massive loss. And they started out like it was going to be rough sledding and tough sledding for the Dynamo. But Jordan, it's Ben Olsen, something about him. I don't know. You kind of want to see him. I know that it's going to be kind of contradictory to what I just said, but you'd love to see him with like a high rolling team, like just one of those teams that's got incredible cash. Cause like, I feel like he's a good coach. I never had much history with him, and you got to see him play with or coach DC, but
I got to see him play with DC too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I think he's probably at the perfect spot where he needs to be. I think this Houston team is fitting him like a glove. They are able to spend probably more than what DC was under him originally. And it just seems like they're fitting so well with him. Minnesota's kind of been going down a bit since their coach actually started coaching, which is strange. Not that you can read much into that. It's whatever. A new coach to MLS, we'll have to see how they adjust and get better. But
their problem is Reynoso. I mean, not being back. And I don't think we've
Reynoso?
Reynoso. Because I don't think we've talked about it. And I forgot to make that a note this week.
Yeah, he's still not.
And it sounds like he's. This is the third time. Like, you can't let him
remember
do this.
When he came in the league in like two, what was it, the end of 2020 or end of 2021? Yeah. It was like after MLS is back, and they were riding high, and he was, and then oh, after that, it just really started like, okay, I'm not showing up.
Yeah. I only get it if there's something personal going on as far as medically, maybe family's not doing well. If he's homesick, I get that. If it's a mental thing, then just let's make it. But it doesn't seem that way. It seems like I'd rather not. This is, and they're nothing really without him, because you've got to have that talisman in the middle. There's not really a good team out there that doesn't have a good 10, or at least a 10 that's formidable. And without him, they really just don't have that. So, yeah, it's tough, man, because Minnesota started out so well, Jordan. We've done this. It feels like we do this all the time with them. It's like, man, they've got to start feeling like, oh, here we go again. Here comes the – and now the Timberwolves are dropping down in the Western Conference and NBA. Man, they're just – the poor Twins are awful. Like, this poor city. They just don't get it.
Vikings, where did the Timberwolves fall to? Because they were like top of the West for a while.
They're third, I think, now in the Western Conference, because it was Denver and OKC playing for the first and second, I think. I don't know. I might be wrong on that, but they've dropped. I know OKC won the first seed. So the Twins, every year they build them up like they're going to be something crazy special, and they always end up disappointing. And a division that should be easy to win. You could do it with your, you know, eyes closed. But
oh yeah, the Timberwolves were one game back. They finished one game back of first place.
Okay, so they only got to second. Oh wait,
no, they got third. Yeah, but they
were first forever.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, man, move out of Minnesota. Burn all your stuff.
Orioles are playing the Twins right now, so we'll see how that goes.
It's not going to go well.
I was just messaging Jack, so we'll see. He's used to that though. Minnesota sports fans are used to disappointment.
And gals.
Okay, Portland drew with LAFC at home 2-2. LAFC kind of continue their funk, if you want to call it that. I don't know if you call it that, but they're in sixth place, so I guess you could call it that. They haven't done too much. They've lost three games, actually, and they've won three, and they've tied two. So they're kind of really like middle of the road, averaging 1.38 points per match, which is actually a worse points per match than Minnesota right now. So if we're just talking about how Minnesota's kind of going down a bit, LAFC is kind of struggling a bit. Portland has continued struggling. They started off very hot this year. They are now in 10th place out of a playoff spot. They've played eight games, too. They don't have any in hand to anybody in the West. And they only have 9 points, which is even with Austin. Austin, who started off very slow. So Portland is now kind of getting in range where if Seattle wins the game in hand, Seattle, who started off terrible, could be even with Portland. That's wild.
I won't say anything besides I'll tell you. I told you so. I told you so, Portland Timber fans.
MLS, baby. It is
the wild, wild west.
Yes, MLS. It's wild, especially that Western Conference, which has been nuts. Charlotte win 3-2 over Toronto at home. Huge, huge win for Charlotte. Toronto kind of still. Like I said, they started off hot as well. They've kind of been falling down a bit as well. They're in ninth place. They have 10 points. They've played eight games. They've lost four times. They only have one draw, and they have three wins. So that is the second most losses in the Eastern Conference, by the way. New England has the most with five. There's a couple teams with four, and Toronto is one of those teams. New York City FC is also one of those teams with four losses. NYCFC do win this game, though. They beat the Revs 2-0 at Yankee Stadium. Revs are really struggling. How long can Caleb Porter last? I know he just started, but like this team is like a dumpster fire right now.
I feel like he's got the benefit of the doubt in saying that I've got Bruce's team and this system's not really... Like, I feel like he's going to get that excuse. Like, I feel like it could still get worse, and they'd still keep him because it just like I don't.
Do Rev fans like him at all? Like I haven't seen.
I'm getting a feeling no. I'm getting a feeling no because a lot of the stuff that I haven't got. Although Jordan, we've kind of faded into the New England Revs Twitter verse because we've not seen any box throwing tee box. Maybe they're not throwing tee because they're pissed. But the general vibe I've gotten from anything that I've ever seen from the Revs is that Porter needed to be fired a long time ago. You know who's available, Jordan? You know who's available? Bruce Arena. He got approved to come back.
He could get them right back in the fourth.
Right back in it. Let's get it.
I mean, look, they've been really bad to start the season. I didn't think they'd be this bad. They have 4 points, 7 games played, 1 win, 5 losses, 1 draw, -8 goal differential. They've given up 13 and they've scored 5, though that's kind of similar to Orlando and Nashville. Nashville's been a dumpster fire. Gary Smith probably on his way out in Nashville, I would assume.
Yeah. They lost 9-2 on aggregate against Club America, which, you know, that's tough, but
that's
9-2. That's embarrassing.
Once it gets to like 3-0, you're that's like, true. Well, whatever.
Yeah. What about Adrian Heath is doing?
Oh my God. Could you imagine? Dallas and Seattle draw 0-0. RSL and Crew draw 0-0. Rapids beat San Jose 3-0. The Rapids are finally hitting late here. They are, turning things around. A huge 3-0 victory for them. They sit fifth in the West. They started off very bad. So they are, remember they had that huge loss against Portland to start it off. They now sit well above Portland, 5 spots, only 3 points, but still. And then, of course, we had Philly and Atlanta draw 2-2. This keeps the Philadelphia Union as the only undefeated team in Major League Soccer, which impressed some people and don't impress some others. But I will say, Atlanta very, very lucky not to have lost this game, because I felt like that was onside. If you look at the lines on the field, the person closer to the touchline, to me, was holding them on. But, you can also say, like, some people are saying that the throw-in that led to a goal was an illegal throw-in, but his foot just needs to touch the line barely, and there is an angle where he is touching it. Who knows? Anyway, finishes 2-2, but I'll just wrap it up with this, Logan. I think that this team has shown a lot of heart this year with grinding out draws during CCC. They get knocked out. They start going on some wins. They get a home. They go away, right? They've actually only played, like, what, two home games right now? Two or three home games. They've not played much. They go away to Atlanta, where it's tough to play. They're on turf. It's a huge stadium, tons of fans. They go down 2-0, come back and get a 2-2 draw. That showed a lot of heart for me as a Union fan. I'm repping them today. And I just think this team is kind of different this year. I don't know. They got two games in hand in Miami. They got one game in hand in New York. They're still undefeated. They're scoring 14 goals. Their defense has kind of got sorted out. They've only given up 9. They'd kind of been on pace to give up more than that earlier this year. And yeah, home, they've only played 2 matches. So they're doing a lot of this away from home. Crazy.
Doing this while balancing CCC, doing this while balancing an Andre Blake that's not really played much, with Semlin being the...
Yes, he leaves this match with a groin injury after just coming back from a concussion.
Yeah, and those people that... And I love this... I guess this conversation on Twitter is that, like, with the people that are like, well, it's not impressive that they've... I mean, it's more impressive they've won all their games. But you got to think about it like this, man. Like, if you've not lost, that means you've not dropped any points. that you've not dropped all your points in a game. You have dropped points. But to draw and to win, if you're taking 1 point out of road matches... We talk about that. If you've got, 17 road matches and you take 17 points, that's a steal. And the Union are winning games on the road too. So they if you go unbeaten, man, that means that this team never loses. They always pick up some kind of point, and oftentimes 3. So yeah. And like you said, this team, they've gotten a little bit more. I don't know. It seems like they're starting to come together a little bit more than even they were last year. The year that they won or got to MLS Cup, like, it's starting to feel more like that, where Gazdag is doing well. Is starting to kind of pick up. You've got Julian Carranza, who's been really good. You've got the defenders who are starting to play better. Like, it's starting to feel like maybe the Union are back, which, you know, I thought maybe this year it was going to be the year they kind of regress a little bit, but I think they'll be a threat.
They look good. St. Louis gets a win over Austin on Sunday, 1-0. That's a much needed victory for St. Louis as well, who was going on a hot skid where they were really struggling. Hadn't won in like 5 matches. They come back, get a win. That's their second win of the season. They're up to 8th place, 11 points. So, there you go. Nashville didn't play this weekend, right? They were the one team that didn't play. They have 7 games.
Fortunate for them.
They're struggling too. We say that, but again, they're only 3 points from a playoff spot. 6 points from a playoff spot is New England. That's who's really struggling. And San Jose, of course, they're 7 points from a playoff spot with 3 points on the year right now. So San Jose and New England are really struggling. That's your race for the wooden spoon right there. We'll see how that goes. Supporter Shield standings currently in first place is Inter Miami, LA Galaxy in second. Then you have Red Bulls, Vancouver, Houston, Phillies, Columbus, RSL, Colorado, Cincy, Atlanta, LAFC, Minnesota, Charlotte, St. Louis, Montreal, Toronto, SKC, DC, Portland, Austin, Chicago, NYCFC, Orlando, Nashville, Seattle, Dallas, New England, San Jose. That's your order from 1st to 29th. Don't forget, we get a new team next year. Get San Diego entering the league. We get to do another expansion preview. Okay, so we have tomorrow some U.S. Open Cup. Charlotte Independence will face off against Rhode Island FC, Detroit City, and the Michigan Stars. New Mexico United versus Lubbock Matadors, Oakland Roots, and El Farolito. That's your Open Cup on Tuesday. Open Cup on Wednesday, we have Hartford versus NYCFC 2, North Carolina versus Carolina, Richmond and Loudoun, Memphis 901 versus Miami United, Miami FC versus South Georgia, Birmingham versus Chattanooga, Chicago Fire 2 versus Indy 11, Omaha versus El Paso, Tulsa and Northern Colorado Hailstorm, Las Vegas versus Spokane Velocity, Monterey Bay versus Irvine Zeta FC. Saturday, 4:20. So that'll be a special occasion for some people, not for me, but I'm sure there will be people celebrating 4:20. You have Atlanta, Cincinnati at 7:30, Columbus, Portland, Miami, Nashville, Montreal, Orlando, NYCFC, DC United, Toronto, and New England. Those are your 7:30 kickoffs. 8:30, Chicago, RSL, Houston facing off against Austin, SKC and St. Louis. So a nice little rematch from the playoffs and just a good derby there. 9:30, Colorado and Dallas. 10:30, we have LAFC versus New York Red Bulls. Seattle versus Vancouver. Then on Sunday, we have two matches, Charlotte and Minnesota at 6 o'clock. That is free and also on FS1. And 8:15, we have LA Galaxy and San Jose. Apple TV, it's also free and on FS1. Logan, if I'm asking you to pick a match there, what are you picking?
Yeah, I'm going to go... There's a lot of really bad ones this week. I'm going to go Atlanta and Cincinnati, because Cincinnati, man, they've got a tough schedule ahead. Let me read this off to you. It's nuts. So they play at Atlanta. They come back home and they play against a Rapids team that looks really good now. If they shore up things defensively, Colorado is going to put some pressure, I think, on Cincinnati. Then Cincinnati comes to Orlando. Orlando playing a little bit better. Then they head to Columbus. And then after that, they'll host Atlanta. So that's a five-game stretch of hell. Hell is going to be real, at least one out of those five games. But, yeah, I think this match, Jordan, Atlanta, again, you and I talk about this, and you know, it's tough because Yakimaki's not been healthy. But it sounds like he's getting closer to a return. I think it was like a bone bruise, which was good for Yakimaki. So it sounds like he should be coming back, whether it's this week or the following. Yeah, I think, you know, if Atlanta's going to be a contender in the Eastern Conference and they're going to threaten those top four teams, then this is a match that you need to win. You dropped 2 points against the Union. You had the advantage. You should have won that match, but you held on for dear life and almost lost it. Because I felt like the Union had complete control at the end there. So again, this is again the time for, and I'm not sure Gonzalo Pineda is that person that's going to fix Atlanta United. But here's another test for Atlanta. We'll see what the Five Stripes do.
I think I am really curious about. I'm going to go with. I'll just pick SKC St. Louis. I know they're not very high up on the table, but I am very intrigued by that. But also very intrigued by LAFC and New York Red Bull.
Yeah. Bring the Red Bull to LA. Yeah.
Red Bull have been pretty good. LAFC been kind of, I think we would all say, disappointing to their standards. To their standards. They are still doing well table-wise, but to what we were expecting from LAFC, they've been a little bit of a slow start, not really scoring as much as we would thought. Bawanga's been a little bit more MIA. I'd love to see these two battle it out, so I think that'd be a fun match there. Union are the team not playing that week, so their next game is actually going to be the week when you arrive. the 27th. And we'll be at that game. Before we head out here, I did want to share some of the news that came on April 10th when Paul Tenorio tweeted out and wrote an article for The Athletic. MLS plans to allow teams more spending flexibility with summer rule changes. So we are going to get some summer rule changes. The three major changes to the rules are an alternation to designate a player in under 22 initiative spending and roster construction, an increase in number of contract buyouts, and increasing benefits of player sales. They are not official until the league has met with MLS Players Association. Once approved, the alterations will add layers of funding to general team spending. So this is what people have been calling for. The big general gist of it here is that the rule change for the designated player in under 22 will be teams can either have three DPs and three under 22, or they can have two DPs and four under 22 players plus $2 million in GAM. So this is supposed to help greater flexibility to MLS teams building rosters while also guaranteeing them six spots to use on more established talents.
Sounds like a lot of youth talent too. Like they're going to be fishing for, which is exciting. Yeah, I'd much rather them go this way.
You can do, yeah, if you can do two DPs and four under 22 plus $2 million in GAM, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Another rule change is going from one buyout contract to two per season.
Yeah, that'll be big because you'll get to, teams will start to cut excess fat.
That, yeah, right now, like that says in the article, you're kind of screwed if you make a mistake in MLS mm-hmm. when it comes to roster construction. You can only have one, you know, get out of jail free there with buying out the contract. You now have two. More GAM for transfers. Under current rules, they can convert up to $1.215,506 million of any transfer into GAM. Under the new rules, they'll be able to convert $3 million per year in transfer or loan revenue into GAM. So they'll get a little bit more money from that as well. Again, not official. We have to wait for them to get the Players Association on board, but I'm sure the Players Association is going to be on board for this if it's going to help. What I would also love to see them do is expand roster spots. So not mm-hmm. just the money-wise, but that way then you can actually start building, raise the cap a bit, get some more salary spots, get some more roster spots. And what that does is move some of those players that are your bench players down to like squad players and be able to get better players on the field and just kind of bump everybody down a little bit of a level. Good thing is we also have a strong USL right now, which can, if some of these players do end up moving on from MLS, there is a place for them to land here in America, which I'm very happy for.
Great rule changes. I was really excited about it because, again, I feel like it really, really helps bring youth talent, which I think MLS has struggled with a little bit. So, and now and CB...
That's what they're going to focus on is the youth guys, because then they're going to be able to flip those overseas and make money. That's why.
Yeah. And I think you're going to have more like Duncan McGuire's and, you know, Daryl DK's and guys like that. Like you're going to have those big name players that are going to come out of MLS, like a Chris Richards, like, you know, they're, MLS is going to get players to stick around more, I think, too. So pretty interesting.
Yeah. But that's our show. Wow, under an hour today. I thought we were going to actually have to go over, but we actually did a pretty great job today, not to toot our own horns. If you want to send us feedback on how wrong I just was and how much we suck, you can comment it below. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please, though, if you're going to rate and review us, don't if you think we suck. Only if you think we're great. Then you can also send us any sort of feedback at Stateside Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, all that good stuff. I'll say this at the top of the show. At the end of the show, I guess. I put a little thing out there of I screenshot it, a former MLS player's team history, and put it out on Instagram and Twitter. One person so far has gotten it right on Instagram, but make sure you go look and see if you can tell what player this was. It's a player that I randomly thought of today that I was like, I am going to share this out there. And I'm sure Quake fans, you know who it is. Go look at it. I'll have it like pinned on the Twitter so that way people can easily locate it. Let us know who it is. That's it. Have a great rest of your day. We'll catch you next time when we break down match day 10 here on Stateside Soccer Show.